If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Wanted to let you know that the Sound Stream is now available exclusively on the Sound app. You can now listen 24/7 to a music stream featuring jam bands and more, much more. So not just what you'd expect, but a few surprises along the way too. Curated by the Sound Media Team, the stream offers up your favorite songs by your favorite bands and artists, both live and in the studio. We'll also be adding specialty programming and much more. So get it today and listen wherever you want for free. Get the app for iOS and Android by searching for The Sound Podcast and Stream or at app.thesoundmedia.com. Just hit the orange button, press play, and boogie on. The show starts now.
Behind the wheel of a yellow cab, on the outskirts of Birmingham, he dreams of a traffic jam in Manhattan. Load a city in a subway car. She feels just like a shooting star. Never thought she could get so far from her old man. The last phone booth in New York City, ringing all day, calling somebody home. She doesn't answer. She walks faster. She won't be going back for Alabaster. She won't be going back. She won't be going back to Alabaster. Thousand miles away, she still feels it. Scrape of his chin, bruise on her spirit. Home is calling, but she won't get near it. Ever again. Steps on the gas just to harness the anger. Last thing he do is try to understand her. Stuck in time like a fly in the amber. Never transcends. The last phone booth in New York City, ringing all day, calling somebody home. She doesn't answer. She walks. She won't be going back to Alabaster. She won't be going back. She won't be going back to Alabaster. Distance grows wider, dark future's brighter and brighter. She's got a new heart beating inside her, and she's her own master.
She won't be going back.
She's her own master.
She won't be going back.
She's her own master.
She won't be going back to Alabaster. She won't be going back.
You've been listening to Alabaster from the Wood Brothers and their most recent release, Kingdom in My Mind, which came out in late January. The full album is available wherever you stream music or purchase it. I can't lie, I love the Wood Brothers. There's just something very comfortable and fun about this band. That isn't to say they aren't dangerous, because they are, and perform with high octane and excellent musicianship, but they're just like a warm sweater. For those that don't know, the three-piece is made up of Brothers Wood, Chris on bass and Oliver on guitar, and Jano Ricks on drums and percussion. We've been fortunate enough to catch these guys live on one of their early tours, and more recently at Borderlands Festival and here in Toronto at a packed and sweaty mod club. This is a folk Americana trio that makes the kind of music you want to hear more of. We caught up with drummer Jano Ricks, the non-brother in the band, to get his take on being in a band with two brothers, the making of Kingdom in My Mind, and as you'll hear, much more. Our conversation started when I asked how fans are taking to the new songs on Kingdom in My Mind out on the road.
Wow, it's actually been great. Surprisingly great. Not that people don't usually react well to new songs, but we're surprised how many people knew the lyrics, even to deep cuts right away, to things we hadn't released as singles. So it's been really fun. And a lot of the new songs are also danceable.
Yes.
So I think that helps with people digesting them for the first time in a live setting.
You know, this record was made, I think, a little bit differently than previous records, and certainly previous to Kingdom on My Mind, One Drop of Truth, the Grammy-nominated record. This was an album born out of jams in the new studio. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yeah. In fact, some of the tracks are our first day playing in the studio. In fact, one of them, the actual source material, which is the rhythm track, is the first notes we played in our new studio. We were just so excited.
Yeah.
That first day when we finally finished, like, getting all the sound baffling up and whatnot. Yeah, we were just excited to try it out, so we just spent the rest of the day improvising.
Is it interesting for you, as in the fact that you're not one of the brothers, you're neither of the brothers, plus you're the backbeat, you're not necessarily somebody who's upstage and playing an instrument that people can see all the time. Is that weird for you to be part of this trio in that respect?
It can get strange, because I'm not a brother, so sometimes it's, maybe this is how you feel if you're adopted into a family.
Right.
Sometimes. But yeah, it can be strange as far as people don't know where to place me, if I'm part of the band or not.
Right.
But I don't know. They're like brothers to me at this point. I've been with them for a long time, and we kind of collaborate on everything. So it feels good to me. And I don't think my personality is being at the front of the stage all the time kind of personality. So I think it's good.
I'm told that you are the glue that holds the Oliver and Chris Wood Brother tandem together, that you are the secret spice that keeps everything cool. Is that true? Do you find yourself mediating, getting in the middle of things, or?
You know, I do musically mediate things sometimes in a way that's, it's all positive, you know, but I feel like I can, they have a kind of they have a connection,
yeah,
as far as playing, like this weird, and it must be a brotherly thing, of kind of psychic connection. I mean, that everyone develops if they play together enough, but they have a certain thing they do, but they also have very different personalities and musical personalities. And I quote Spinal Tap sometimes. I'm like lukewarm water. So I can kind of bridge the gap. But that's good. That's something I enjoy. I feel like that's just something I'm naturally drawn to doing, is kind of being a good accompanist is a skill that I've always enjoyed and comes natural to me. And that's kind of what that is, you know?
But it's more than being an accompanist at this point, because you are, I mean, you are the third wheel of the tricycle, so to speak, or however, whatever else,
yeah.
Third, pegging the stool. I have no idea. But at this point, you are like you said, you are a brother. So it's probably pretty natural for you to mitigate both on stage and behind the scenes, everything that's going on.
I suppose that's true. And as time has gone on, I've just felt more comfortable, and they give me complete freedom to try anything, to bring any instrument into the equation, and to step out, and it feels pretty equal parts, and we trust each other, you know, we produce each other. So I would say, in all ways, you know what I mean? Like, we trust each other's opinion, and even if it's a critical one.
We're all familiar with Chris's background in jazz and R&B, and of course Oliver's blues and gospel background. I'm curious about what your background is and how you bring that to bear in this band.
Yeah, well, my dad is a professional drummer, and right before I was born, he was out on the road with Bob Dylan and Leonard Cohen, and he's played with a lot of people,
right?
And still plays. So I grew up behind his kit, watching him play gigs, and so I just always in music from a young age, and I was playing drums from the time I was about two, And my mom is a painter. She worked as a school teacher, but that's her thing. And so I was pretty artsy growing up. And then my background before this, you know, I went to music school. I studied jazz piano at the University of Miami at their jazz program. And then right after that, I went out on the road playing drums with a band called the Gabe Dixon Band.
What a phenomenal band, by the way. Still one of
you know that?
Still one of my favorite records of all time. I have to tell you, the first record is still one of my favorite, absolute favorite records. The Gabe Dixon, like debut, is still one of my favorite records of all time. And I'm so happy that he's gigging now with Tedeschi Trucks, because...
Yeah,
that cat deserves great praise for his ability, for sure.
Yeah. I recommend seeing him with TTB. It's a good fit. It's awesome. I'm so happy he's with them. So I toured with Gabe for 10 years, and we made those records and just knocked it out in a van for about a decade. And then after that, I was playing with a woman named Liz Wright,
yep,
who's an amazing, soul / jazz singer, whatever you want to call it. And, amongst other people, and just, you know, being a freelance musician. And then I got fed up with being poor, and, I decided to quit music and, become a carpenter.
Wow.
And then I decided, no, I have to do it. and when I decided I have to do it, I think my focus was increased in that I was like, okay, no matter what, I have to make this work. There was no lingering doubts about whether this was a good idea, you know, and whether I'd be happier with something consistent. And soon after that, I met Oliver, and then they were looking for a drummer, and a bunch of people recommended me at the same time. It was and they were my favorite band. So it was a really surreal confluence of events.
I would imagine that either being a resident of Nashville or spending a lot of time in Nashville, it's not just about your ability. It's, although that's obvious, it's also about who you know and finding the right kind of environment to be in so that you feel comfortable being the drummer or the utility player in a band, let's say. Does it make it easier being in an environment like Nashville for that?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Well, for me, it did. I know a lot of people move to Nashville, especially if they're trying to be a songwriter, and they just feel like it's, you know, chewing them up and spitting them out, especially right. if they're trying to be in the country world. But I never made, you know, any effort to be in the country world, and I was just lucky with the people I knew, like Gabe, coming in, you know. I just got around the right people who led me to people like Buddy Miller and Victor Krause and the Wood Brothers. So they live in Nashville now. They came in the last few years to Nashville.
Right.
But yeah, it's been, Nashville has been very good to me. But I do have a funny story about maybe what you're talking about is I always had in the back of my head when I was more freelancing, maybe one day I'll be one of those guys who has the coveted gig in Nashville, which is basically being the studio guy who is the first call for a couple producers, you know?
Right.
And your gear is just in cartage and it just shows up in the studio and you're just in the studio every day and it's just, life is good and you're one of those three guys who has all the gigs, you know.
Part of the sausage
and then
factory.
I finally,
yeah.
Even though I've really never listened to country music. I'm from New York and it just never spoke to me.
Right.
But in the back of my mind, it was always like, well, you know, if you really want to be comfortable and be able to make a living, you're going to have to be one of those guys. And I always thought, I can do that because I can, you know, I can imitate that style. It's pretty much rock and roll these days is what country is. And I finally got a call to do one of those gigs. And I go into the studio and we track a few songs. And I'm standing in the control room next to the engineer. And the producer says, man, it sounds so great. Oh, and I brought like my most straight ahead kit and I thought I was playing like right down the middle, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, man, so great. That's why I hired you, man. I wanted something different. And at that moment, it was like the best moment of my career, honestly. I was like, I have no idea what you want. I guess I was doing what he wanted, but I have no idea what the normal thing is.
Right.
Like, because I think I'm doing it. And somehow what I'm doing, it was probably just my feel or something. Somehow what I'm doing is way different to you. And I was like, this is amazing. I never have to want this in the back of my mind ever again. Like, think I should do this. So I was completely freed at that moment. I was like, I'm just going to be myself and I'm just going to bring my wacky stuff to a session. And if you want me, if you call me, you're going to get me, not me imitating some other shit.
Well, that's probably the best way to be, right? Is authentic and genuine in your craft. Let's rewind and go back to Kingdom in My Mind because it eluded us sure. as we went down the road. I'm curious about the process sure. because these songs are born out of jams and some of them are even early jams. It kind of does speak to this idea of writing live music and being in the studio live. How does that collaboration work though in terms of lyrics and storytelling? Did you still have lyrics or did Chris or Oliver have lyrics that they brought to bear that you sort of worked into these jams? How did that all come to pass?
Sometimes it was that, you know, that, and Chris and Oliver do more of the lyric writing than I do. that they just had kind of, you know, they're writing lyrics and books and things that inspire them, you know, over time. And we all are. So we have a piece of music now that we've improvised, that we've chopped up a little bit and kind of has a verse and chorus kind of parts. And we just start throwing the lyrics at them and see what sticks, you know, see if a piece of music reminds us of something we wrote, or just inspired by what we played, and it brings some words or a melody or a sound to mind or a theme. So it's kind of all over the map, and taking things from, it's a bit of a collage, you know, and then we just edit and change it and say, oh, what if this chorus went over this, you know? So there are really no rules. And we had our own studio, so we had the luxury of time. Yeah.
Little Bit Sweet, was that the track that you mentioned that was born out of that first session in the new studio?
I believe that is the one of two of them. Yeah. I believe that was first day, maybe the first thing we played. Yeah, I have to go back. We have so many jams. We've, you know, hours and hours of improvisations recorded. But yeah, that was from the first day, I know.
I'm curious about that because given Chris's background in improvised music and instrumental music, and you guys sort of being very competent players all individually, I'm curious about putting out a record that is just instrumentals. Have you guys ever considered doing that? Just those jams?
I talk about it a lot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. It's, I think one day it will happen, and I don't know if it'll be all different stuff or based on tracks we've already released. Mm-hmm. But this past recording process yielded a lot of things that can stand on their own. We had to whittle them away a lot because when you improvise as three people, you tend to create complete things, you know, that have a melody and you know, all the parts of it. And then we had to like kind of break it down a little bit to fit lyrics over it.
So it
might happen one of these days.
That's interesting that you mentioned, you know, lyrics and fitting lyrics to these jams. And even in a live setting, I'm impressed by the jams that you guys do because they do have, you know, their own unique Wood Brothers energy. And you can see Chris, you know, bopping around on stage and moving around and doing his two-step or sidestep or whatever else. And you must get a kick out of that watching that. But, you know, there seems to me, and maybe this is not part of the Wood Brothers recipe, but there seems to be the ability to take these, you know, under 4 minute tunes and sort of maximize their potential. And I know on Live at the Fillmore, you do some of that. And I know even live on stage, having seen you a few times now, you do some of that. I also saw you at Borderlands in the summer. You do some of that. But, you know, on tape at least, these are all, you know, quite short pieces. Is that intentional because of what the album allows you to do, or because of, I guess you're just, it's true. You have like only a certain amount of time to get all these songs on a record. Do you feel confined to that space, to that kind of environment and that kind of package? Is that something you want to explore more? Not just jams for the jam's sake or improv or instrumentals, but, you know, jamming out some of these numbers so they're not, you know, 4 and 5 minutes long, but in fact they're 7 or 8.
And putting that on a record.
You know,
we haven't talked about that too much, but we do think about the format of vinyl when we are in the studio making a record. Because we grew up listening to records that could fit on two sides of vinyl, so that's and we like that format. It's kind of a nice length of time to sit with music. We find it's like a, it's kind of a good good to have limitations. So we have considered that a lot. That's why we usually have around 10 songs. But that's something that might happen in the future. We have been talking about an instrumental record, and one thing we do like about Kingdom, it doesn't have long improvisations on it, but
right.
It does showcase other aspects of our instrumental playing than other records do, because it started out just with us jamming in the studio.
Right, right.
So we played stuff we wouldn't play if we're trying to think about, oh, what's going to work under the bridge of this song. So in that way, it was nice to hear our musical, different aspects of our musical personalities come out. But that's interesting that you say that. And we might think about that in the future. You never know.
Well, it's just interesting. And two, you know, being on the road with some of the people that you've either opened for or played with, I think about, you know, Tedeschi Trucks Band and them spreading out some songs. And obviously, you know, Derek comes from a more jam band and improv kind of experience. So I understand why they do it. But I also understand the limitations of their songs and what they're trying to accomplish on stage. But you guys, given that it's the three of you and given how talented the three of you are, I mean, there's a chance to do some live improv that I think your fans could really get into. But then again, I guess you also have to serve kind of the genre that you're a part of. And that would be sort of new to the Americana kind of way of doing things, where you're putting out these three and a half minute, 4 minute songs. It's interesting. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly we don't care about the genre at all. So it's an option for us, and it's true. It is a feature of our live shows, but I don't know. The live shows are different. I guess, you know, it's about making the song speak in a way that people can connect to it. Cause I think that's most of the power of the Wood Brothers, is people find things they can really connect to and help them through, you know, parts of their life.
Right.
That's been a big part of it. But you're right. It's turned into, especially as venues have gotten bigger for us.
Yep.
It turns into more of a dance party, and it turns into longer groove sections and improvisations. And we are all capable of that. And, I don't know. Maybe you've inspired us to
Oh, I have. Wow. Oh gosh. That would be crazy. I don't think I am inspired much, but you know, I saw you guys in the Mod Club. I think one of their first or second tours that you guys came through to Toronto, and it had been a while. And I'm glad that Oliver acknowledged that it had been a while. But to see the crowd in that room from one gig to, and given maybe probably, I think probably about 10 years difference in between the two, that room was packed. I mean, people were dancing, but they were dancing, you know, in very confined spaces. Is that what you're seeing more and more of now when you go out to these shows and you're playing some of these rooms for the second and third time, that the rooms can't hold you anymore?
Yeah, we've been doing really well. Real lucky. Having a good run, but it's been a slow build. You know, the venues have just kept stepping up in size, and now we're, you know, we tour mostly in the States, and it's big theaters, and most of them are sold out. So it's a nice size. We'll see what happens after this, but I think our favorite thing is to do multiple nights at a you know, reasonably sized venue, rather than play places where it just starts to sound bad.
Right, right,
and
right.
And you start to get disconnected from the audience. So, and we get to enjoy a city.
Right. Well, certainly your sound requires a smaller, more intimate type venue, because you are playing, you know, there's only three of you. You're playing string instruments, except for the drums. And so it does kind of require a smaller type feel. What are your favorite songs on Kingdom in My Mind? And I only ask because I really want to talk about one, but I want to see if we can if we can tease or segue into it. But what are some of your favorite songs on Kingdom in My Mind?
Oh, I don't know. That changes over time.
Yeah.
It's you know, my opinions change as we play them live. So I will say that at first, when we finished it, we were all very taken with Alabaster at the beginning. And then I started to really like Broken. Mm-hmm. And then once we started playing these live, I think we were all taken by surprise at The One I Love.
It's Yay!
So much fun to play live. That is just like... a banger.
Well, it's a banger, and yet it is, and I mentioned this to the publicist, it is probably one of the best love songs ever, because it's a love song that it keeps the love in the background to the story, right? Like, and so I think it's
yeah.
such a great, it's not an in-your-face love song, it's actually it's the juxtaposition of him talking about all of these other people or this one woman that he could potentially have fun with, but it all comes back to the person who he actually loves. And so it's such a great, well-written song and so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very real.
yeah. I would imagine the temptation on the road is something that happens, right? Like that's just part of it.
Sure, you know, and I've spent a lot of my life thinking, oh, you know, it's hard to be in the road and keep a relationship at home, you know. But you know what? It's hard no matter who you are anywhere.
Right.
No matter what you're doing, whatever job you have. And so I think that's just an excuse. Although I get it. You know, I know why things happen on the road, but yeah, temptation's always there. It's just natural human, and that song addresses it, and just really lays it out.
Yeah, it's
makes no bones. Yeah,
for sure, my favorite song on the record. Not to say that.
Oh, that's cool.
Not to say that any of the others aren't as good, but I heard it and I thought perfect love song and perfect love song for 2020. Like it's just so well done. Now, don't get yourself into any trouble. I know that you're going to Punta Cana coming up next week or the week after with the Avett Brothers. You've gotten the chance to play with so many cool people, whether it's the Avett Brothers or Tedeschi Trucks or just being, you know, on the road and performing. Are there any moments or any highlights for you over the last, I don't want to say 10 years because I'm sure there are many, but even in the last year, has there been anything specific where you've said, you know, in the same way that you arrived sort of when you were in the studio at the session playing drums, have there been similar moments on the road with the Wood Brothers over the last year where you've said, yep, this is where I'm supposed to be?
Yeah, there have been. I'm trying to remember one in particular in the last year. In the last year, I think it's just more been a cumulative.
Right.
Wow, we have like, you know, it could even be after like a show in a smaller town, you know, it doesn't matter. We just kind of have all realized, wow, we have a really good thing going. We think this band is really good. We have an amazing crew. Everyone feels like family. Everyone is like so into it. It's just, we're so lucky. And the thing has been built on, you know, so many years of work on the business and on every end of it, you know. So there's that. I do think going back another year, I think the first time we played the Ryman mm-hmm. in Nashville.
Yes.
That we would talk about that, like, God, how do you ever do that? You know, how do you ever fill the Ryman? And then the first time we played it, it sold out. And somehow we did not have a lot of nervous energy when we walked out there. We just felt really reverent and just thankful. And it felt like right. the whole audience was feeling the same thing. I think that was a moment for us.
Well, so, play that venue again Friday night, which must be excited to get back there, right?
Very excited. And it's Valentine's Day and we're going to be home.
Right. So it's
going to be nice.
You are playing some great rooms, though, in March and April, once you get back from your little stint in Punta Cana. Too bad that you have to go there, right? I mean, sheesh.
Yeah.
You have to play music for people at a beautiful resort, and it's going to be warm. But you are playing some great rooms, and it's interesting that you mentioned that you prefer playing, because you're doing three nights at the Orange Peel in Asheville. You're doing a couple nights at the Republic in New Orleans as part of Jazz Festival, the Variety Playhouse. I mean, you are able to carve out a few nights in a few places. I guess as long as they'll have you for a couple nights, you're eager to do that, right?
Yeah. If we can sell the tickets, we'll just park ourselves somewhere. Traveling so much, you know, be traveling all the time. It's such a luxury to wake up, number one, to have a hotel room and not to be sleeping on the bus.
Right.
And two, to just wake up and have part of the day, you know, to just be in a place and explore the place and, I don't know, just be somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just be getting out of the bus and just into a backstage.
Right.
And then to sound check and then, you know, eating, warming up, playing the gig, back on the bus. So,
right.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're very excited about that.
I guess, too, because you're a smaller unit, I mean, you know, when it's a 7-piece like or bigger, you know, you have the opportunity to talk to more people or hang out with other people. When it's the three of you and the crew, I mean, it is tight quarters for you for most of these tours. And you probably get tired of seeing the same people over and over again and doing the same thing over and over again, right?
Yeah, you just need different experiences, you know?
Yeah.
Even if that experience is just being by yourself for a little while.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's one we don't get, you know?
Well, hopefully you'll have time to chill and relax in Punta Cana after you do great things coming up at the Ryman. Thanks so much, Jano, for taking the time. We love the record. We love what your sound and the brother's sound is all about. And continued success and continue growing the fan base and everything else. And if you do have an instrumental record and you do want to mention me, you know, name a track after me, I won't be offended at all. All right.
Okay. Good to know. God,
yeah.
Your blessing.
Thanks a lot, Jano. Thanks for taking the time, man. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Can't deny getting the insider's view of this trio is pretty cool. Jano is extremely talented and offers up a lot more to the band than simply being the band's drummer. Aside from listening to the full album Kingdom in My Mind, you should check out their entire discography and definitely catch them on the road soon. For more, visit thewoodbros.com. Before we leave you, have a listen to another track off of Kingdom in My Mind, perhaps the song the trio cut first for the record. Here is A Little Bit Sweet.
Every time I go back home, brushing leaves off of the stone, from the grave I see up the hill, same old tree stand there still. And it's a little bit sweet, it's a little bit bitter. In my old bed I fall asleep and the spirits visit me. I wake up and I'm all alone, stuck inside my skin and bone. It's a little bit sweet, it's a little bit bitter. Bittersweet, I That's the way love is made to be.
Been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.